So tonight I want us to walk through a few scriptures tonight. In the preaching of the holiness of God, especially starts in the book of Isaiah, when we're looking at the holiness of God and how far he is above and beyond us, it's hard to gather how does this all to come together. You know, as people, we already feel, if you will, inadequate to reach God. Obviously, we can't come to his level. And in fact, Timothy even describes God, who alone has immortality and dwelling in unapproachable light, whom no man has seen or can see, to whom be honor and everlasting power. Amen. So he kind of gives us a glimpse of how great God truly is, and yet, in fact, that we should fear him, we should have total reverence for him, we will never be equal to him. So how is it that we get to him? Well, he draws us to himself. A holy God draws us near. And that's exciting. In James chapter 2, verse 23, we begin the thought is that God is willing to call us friend. And so James chapter 2, verse 23, and the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Now, how interesting it is that as we see the faith of Abraham set forth the example for all of us, didn't it? He had set forth the example of how that we would trust God, how that we would trust the Lord Jesus as our Savior, and it was through that faith, depending upon Christ, trusting in Christ, that would come. But we see the result of that is that God called him friend. And so that is available to us as well. God desires an intimacy with us despite our weaknesses, the weakness of our thoughts, our actions, and even our desires. He still wants to have an intimate relationship. I want you to think about this for a moment. We've heard this all of our lives, for many of us. We've thought about this, and sometimes, can you agree with me? I think we take for granted that he wants to have a closeness with us. Would you agree? Can you remember when your kids were little? I always tease Alicia about this because it really did happen this way. When she was younger, every morning she would run into our room and Dawn and I be asleep and she wants to do a belly flop between us and she wanted to play and her and I would wrestle and we'd usually kick mom out of bed and she would very frustratedly get out of bed while we finished wrestling and fighting and rolling around, and she loved, she was the clingy baby. She always wanted to be cuddly, and then she turned 13, and a light switch flipped on, and she's like, don't touch me. Who are you, and where is my child, you know? It's like, man, you know, as a dad, you like the cuddly, and you have it, yeah, it was over, but now she lets me sit on the couch and hold her hand. Yeah, that's a big step. It really was. We want that closeness. When they're young, they don't understand it. You know, they're going through, they're growing, and things changing, and, you know, they're chasing boys, or boys are chasing them. It's a big mess. You know where I'm at on all that. And so they don't realize the love that we have for them. You know, sometimes I think we take for granted how deep that God wants to have an intimacy with us alone. Now, isn't that fascinating? The God who's created everything, has everything, knows everything, yet wants to spend time with you alone. In the Old Testament, they served all kinds of gods. Egypt alone had multiple gods. That was one of the reasons for all the plagues. It disproved all those false gods in Egypt, but none of them ever wanted intimacy from anyone. They were just using, and they were just, in a sense, people would appease these angry false gods, right? But the God of glory, who is untouchable, who dwells in inapproachable light, wants us close. But we can't get there. Amen? We can't get there. But God welcomes us with open arms through the redemptive work of Christ on the cross. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. How remarkable that we can approach a God as a friend, although we will never be equal to him, right? We will never come to his level. He will always be above us. He will always be beyond us. He is infinitely past us. We will never reach the level that he is. And yet, he has chose to draw us close. As if that wasn't enough, we're going to go a little deeper. Ephesians 1, 3 through 6. God has made it possible for believers to come even deeper in welcoming us as his own children. Now, I know many of us can relate that there's a closeness with friends, but a closeness with mom, I don't think you can parallel. Would you agree? Mamas know us inside and out. Mamas know what's going to come out of our mouth before we know what's going to come out. They watch us. They know us. Mama's intuition, right? It's a deep, abiding connection, but yet God takes us even deeper, doesn't he? Look, Ephesians is, and you know, when I read these verses, can I be honest with you? I'm going to get to it in a minute, I promise. Sometimes I think we miss the depths of these, but when we're looking at God where he belongs, and we look at where we are, you know, we're getting our heads right about righteousness and holiness, and we forget, you know, remembering who we are. When we get everything in place, the depths of these verses begin to open up even more. Verse, scripture interprets scripture when we get things in the right place. So when we look at this, let's look at Ephesians. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Christ is that bridge that brings those heavenly things closer to us. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. See, that is a level that we could not reach, we could not attain, but Jesus brought it near to us by his death, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. The beloved is referring to Christ. We are accepted of God the Father, the Holy Father, in Christ by his death. So picture the love that God has for us, with all of our sin. I liked one commentator, he worded it this way. We come like dirty-faced orphans with no desirable qualities to make us wanted, yet we're already children of wrath. But by the blood of Jesus, we have been cleansed, and he calls us accepted. Ephesians 2 and verse 3, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. You know, I can remember a time we have these family get-togethers, as I'm sure you do. And some of them were in the summertime, and, you know, we always have watermelon, and we'd have icies and stuff for the kids because we knew it'd be hot. And, well, you know, the kids are running around, and half of them, they're running around without their shirts on, and, you know, the little bitty ones are running around in diapers, and, you know, we give them watermelon, and they eat and roll around in the watermelon, and it's all over them. The icies, they eat half of them, and then the Kool-Aid, they pour on top of each other's heads. They're a sticky mess, and they run around in the sun, and they get all baked, and, well, the playground, you know, had this wood mulch around it, and they're playing, and they're falling down in it, and they're just having a great time. Well, it comes time, Grandma and Grandpa, they're all burning up. They're going to go home, and, well, we're going to let the kids play a while. So we say, kids, get over here and tell Grandma and Grandpa goodbye and give kisses. Oh, my goodness, what a mess. Every square inch of sugar was covered in black powder from all of that mulch, and it was all around their faces, in their hair. They were absolutely disgusting. And they come running over to give Grandma and Grandpa, like, wait a minute, you're not touching Grandma and Grandpa. Get some wet wipes. And we got wet wipes, and we had to take water bottles and try to get the sugar and the mud off of them. But, you know, Grandma's like, oh, just let them come over here and give me some kisses. As a parent, I'm mortified. Nobody wants to hug these grubby, sticky, sweaty little babies. But the grandparents are, that's right, the grandparents are like, get out of the way, bring that sticky baby to me. You know, as a parent, we want to clean them up. give them a proper, this is what grandma and grandpa deserves, at least a clean baby to kiss on. But yet the grandparents are like, I want them just the way they are, right? Doesn't it give a whole new meaning when Jesus called them and he said, let the children come to me. Do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. Can you see that correlation? We were the children of wrath. In fact, Paul describes us as enemies of the cross. But Jesus says, I know you're dirty. Oh, you're filthy. Look at you. But I want you to come near. And you know, we took those kids and we cleaned them up when they got home. Even though grandma kissed them, nasty little babies, we cleaned them up. You know why? Because they needed to be cleaned up. The Father takes us in. Well, you know, simple it was to create. He created all things with just a word. But the redemptive plan required that the sinless Son of Man, the sinless Son of God, came and he shed his blood. And he died so that we could come before a holy God. Not just come before him, but come running in like children, leaping into his arms. Don't forbid them to come. Let the little children come. Jesus made that possible. That's how we come to a God who inhabits eternity. Isn't that amazing? Picture of who he really is and the amazing journey that Jesus took to call us friend and child. We're going to bow our heads here for just a few minutes. As we've talked before, let's prepare our hearts. Let's get our hearts ready. Let's confess anything that we may have. But let's just take a few minutes to come before a holy and righteous God. And let's just thank him. Let's just thank him for all that he's done, all that he has made possible, which was impossible for us, drawing us in when there really was no attractive part of us, mostly repulsive, but yet it didn't stop him. It didn't stop him from loving us and saving us. So let's thank him. Let's take a few moments tonight.